6 weeks later. Killian closed the door of his study and climbed the narrow staircase in the dark. When he reached the little attic bedroom, he turned on the light and saw a stooped and putty-faced old man staring back at him from the mirror of the dressing table opposite. It was with something of a shock that he realized that the old man was himself. Most of the thick, silver hair that had so characterized his later years was gone. There were deep, penumbrous shadows beneath his eyes, skin hanging grey and loose around his neck and jowls. He walked with the stooped gait of the elderly, and he wondered what had happened to the young man who had arrived with so much hope in his heart all those years before on the shores of England's green and pleasant land. All that filled his heart now was fear. Not fear of death, for that was inevitable, but fear of not finishing what he had begun, that in the end his tormentor would get away with it. He had misplaced his trust in another and realized too late the mistake. He glanced from the window toward the house, across a lawn mired in shadow. There were no lights beyond the pale, colourless illumination of the moon, and for a moment he wondered if he saw movement among the trees, a figure flitting from shadow to shadow. He stood straining to see for nearly a minute before deciding it was just his imagination. Turning away from the window, he hobbled across the room, supported on his walking stick, a stout piece of hazel with an owl's head carved as a handle, the curve of it fitting neatly now in the palm of his hand. The bed gave beneath him as he sat on its edge, and he laid the stick beside him before picking up the phone. If only Peter had been at home, he would have told him everything. He cursed himself for not doing so sooner. The phone, ringing shrill and metallic in a distant land, sounded in his ear until he heard the familiar cadences of a young woman's voice.
"Hello?"
And he wished he could lay his head on her breast and weep, curling up like a fetus, returning to the safety of the womb. Instead, he said,
"Jane, it's Papa. Don't speak, just listen."
The alarm in her voice was clear.
"Papa? What's wrong?"
"You're not listening to me, Jane."
He was trying to stay calm.
"I need you to do something for me, and I don't want there to be any misunderstanding."
He paused and was greeted by silence from the other end. Almost. He could hear her short, shallow breathing.
"Good."
He had her attention.
"I know that Peter won't be back from Africa until next month. If I'm still around, I'll speak to him myself. But if I'm not, if something has happened to me, then I want you to tell him to come straight here."
"For God's sake, Papa, what could happen to you? Have you taken a turn for the worse?"
"Jane."
His admonition was almost brutal, and he heard her stop mid-breath.
"If for any reason I am not around any longer, he's to come to the house. I've left a message for him. He'll find it in my study. But, Jane, if he's still not back, I need you to make sure that no one moves or removes anything in the room. I need you to promise me that."
"But, Papa..."
"Promise me, Jane."
He heard the frustration now in her voice.
"I promise. But, Papa, what kind of message?"
"Nothing that anyone else will make sense of, Jane. But Peter will know straight away.